The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org. So for those of you who don't know me, I'm Diana Clark, and this is Happy Hour. And I alternate with Nikki Mirgafori, except that sometimes I'm off on retreat and she's off on retreat. Sometimes we're both off on retreat. I don't think we ever have been on the same retreat, though. So sometimes there are substitute teachers, but it's usually Nikki and I alternating the teaching. And so today I'd like to talk a little bit about how both mindfulness practice and loving kindness practice can really support us and some of the similarities between them. Sometimes it's not always clear, like, what is the difference between mindfulness practice and loving kindness practice? Sometimes we feel like, okay, we're just meditating. What's the difference between all these different ones? For those of you who've been here before, you know that mindfulness practice is when we choose an object. Most often, we teach it as the breath. It can be anything, essentially. But we choose an object. And then when we notice that the mind has drifted away, we just very gently come back to the object. And this object may change with mindfulness. It doesn't have to always be the same. The way that I've been teaching it, I'm just teaching the breath, but it doesn't have to be that way. So one thing that mindfulness practice and loving kindness practice have in common is this willingness to begin again. That is, with mindfulness practice, we choose this object. It's just, eventually our minds are going to drift away from the object. That's just what minds do. And this willingness, instead of like at that moment, like giving up, like, see, I knew I couldn't meditate, we just like come back to the object, the breath. Just this idea, this willingness to begin again, this willingness to start over. Even though what we were, we had the intention to be with the breath, but we're not with the breath, but like, oh, that's okay, just start again. In the same way with loving kindness practice, we begin again in quite a few ways. One is the way where we're going to do it today. We begin with where it's easiest. We call this person the lovable being or the benefactor. And then in some ways we begin again with the self. And tonight we'll also include the neutral person, somebody that we don't know, that we don't have a relationship with. So we kind of like, we cultivate loving kindness for one individual or one being, and then we begin again with another. In some ways it's not beginning again. You see, it's more like a building on what we've done. With loving kindness practice, another way that we begin again is, of course, with the phrases. That we choose these phrases to help support our practice, to help support our intention to cultivate loving kindness. And for those of you who have done loving kindness practice, know that we often have like four phrases, and we just begin again, begin again, begin again. So there's this willingness that to just come back to the beginning, come back to where we started, instead of the sense that we must move forward, and if we haven't, or if we're not in the place that we don't want to be, if we're not in the place that we thought we would be, to just give up, we just like begin again. So that's one way in which mindfulness practice and loving kindness practice have these similar qualities, is that we're cultivating this ability and this willingness to begin again. But in order to begin again, we need to have let go of whatever is distracting us, whatever it is that pulled us away from our object, whether it's the breath or the cultivating loving kindness. So we have to be able to let go of whatever is interfering or whatever is in our mind at that time. So there has to be a certain willingness to like, oh yeah, I'm supposed to be meditating right now, to kind of soften that and just let it go and begin again. So beginning again, letting go. And then also a third aspect that both mindfulness and loving kindness have in common is this kindness towards ourselves. We can notice when we're doing mindfulness practice and we choose the object, the breath, we find ourselves drifting from the breath, and then we kind of like wake up and notice like, oh yeah, I'm planning dinner, or I'm remembering dinner. Then we can notice, are we criticizing ourselves? What's the attitude we have towards ourselves when we notice that we're no longer on the object? Can we practice having kindness? Yeah. Of course my mind drifted away. I had a busy day. I had lots of thoughts. I haven't meditated for a week, 2 weeks, a month, 6 months, whatever it might be. Like, oh yeah, okay, my mind just drifted away. I'm going to come back. So that moment when we wake up, when we're no longer being mindful of what we intended to be mindful for, it's a real opportunity. Can we be gentle with ourselves? Can we be kind to ourselves? We can learn a lot about ourselves, about how we're just watching that moment. You know, there's the moment of waking up, and then there's like one beat later is the kind of our relationship to that, the having just woken up to being lost. And then, of course, with loving kindness practice, we are really intentionally cultivating kindness, care, warmth towards ourselves. We set that as our intention. Whereas with mindfulness practice, it's part of a bigger practice, whereas loving kindness practice can be, you know, that's our focus of what we're doing is cultivating loving kindness towards ourselves. So this willingness to begin again, this ability to let go, this cultivating kindness towards ourselves, these three qualities are fantastic qualities to have just in our lives in general. And in one way, it's because they help cultivate or create the conditions for resilience. This sense of flexibility or pliability or a sense of wherewithal that we can meet the difficulties in our lives. Whatever those difficulties may be, they may be really subtle, they may be really big. But these practices can help create a reservoir of that we can draw from later, a reservoir of some confidence, some, like, okay, I'll just have to start over. Okay, I can, don't have to beat myself up because this happened. That's just making it worse. Can I be some kindness with myself here? So it helps kind of create some resilience. Which also can also create some spaciousness. Instead of like grabbing on so tight, like things have to be a certain way, this kind of flexibility, pliability, malleability, we can kind of flow with how things really are and adapt to what's needed in that moment, allow our wisdom to kind of point us in that direction, what needs to happen. So then as kind of I alluded to, the sense of resilience also can be a real resource for us that we can draw on when we need to, we meet uncomfortable things, or I'll just use this generic word, difficulties, which can be such a big, wide range of things. And so this resource, having a sense of resource, can also have a sense of abundance. It can cultivate a sense of, I have enough. I have enough. And then when we have this sense, I have enough, then we show up in the world in a really different way. Then I have enough. Then we can just give freely. Give our energy, give our resources, give our attention. Without a sense of, oh, what about me or something, we can just give freely. Including to ourselves. We have the resources to kind of love and care and nourish ourselves as well as those around us. So with a sense of resource, there can be a real generosity of spirit, either like metaphorically or literally, this sense of generosity. And then generosity, the sense of kind of like giving freely, it would be a real condition for happiness. Kind of feel connected to ourselves, feel connected to those around us, to be able to support and give and care, really supports happiness. So in this way, kind of meditation practice, mindfulness and loving kindness practice, kind of supports resilience. And then resilience kind of supports, creating a sense of a resource inside of us, which then can support a sense of care, or a sense of abundance. And then the sense of abundance can help us do a resource, like generosity for others, which then can lead to happiness. Of course, this isn't the only way, you know, the mindfulness practice or loving kindness practice can show up in our lives. But I think it's nice to think about cultivating resources. When you are experiencing any sense of ease or contentment, happiness, well-being, love, care, soak it up. Bathe in it. Allow yourself to feel resourced. Allow yourself to feel filled up by it. It doesn't have to be your dominant experience. It may be a kind of a subtle thing. But I think it's important for us to nourish ourselves with these experiences instead of often we discount them and think like, oh, the difficulty is what I really have to be. I have to work through this. I have to solve this. I have to do that. There's time and room for that, but let's not forget these beautiful qualities, or they may even be really subtle. They may be unremarkable, this feeling of contentment or ease, but allow us to have them as a resource. Drink them up, soak in them, feel them, experience them. So I've already alluded to mindfulness practice and loving kindness practice. I'll talk a little bit more about loving kindness practice. For those of you who've been here before, you know that there are three elements. First element is to bring to mind, in any way that makes sense to you, that could be a felt sense somehow in some vague way, or it could be visualizing the person or being to whom you're cultivating loving kindness. When you're visualizing, it doesn't have to be clear and precise. It's not a photograph necessarily. You may have that kind of a mind or memory, or it may just be a vague sense of that person or being. The second is this sense that we often have in our bodies of a softness, a warmth, spaciousness, relaxation, maybe in the heart center, in the chest, maybe in the belly, maybe it's a little bit in the face, kind of like a relaxation with a little bit of a smile. Maybe felt different ways at different times. Maybe sometimes it's not felt. And then the third is the phrases that we repeat to help support our intention to be cultivating loving kindness. The phrases are just a way to kind of help bring us back to this cultivation. So as I alluded to earlier, we'll start with the lovable being. Sometimes we call this person a benefactor, somebody for whom it's easy to feel care, warmth, love, respect, whatever word you want to use, all words, maybe you have your own. It doesn't have to be a person. It can be, I've been sharing that, I don't know why, but somehow I just think of these chipmunks I saw recently, just makes my heart just delight. They're so cute. I can't help it, but I kind of like smile and when I think about them. Kittens, babies, puppies, all these things. We're just whatever feels like natural and easy. We'll start there and then we'll expand it to include ourselves. And then we'll expand it one more time to include somebody that we don't have a relationship with, but we may recognize. That neighbor down the street that we don't know, but we just know that they live down the street, or the person, the grocery clerk, often checks us out through the checks out the groceries while we're at the grocery store, or the mail carrier, somebody like this that you may recognize but you don't really know. So with that as an introduction, let's begin by taking an alert, upright posture. And we'll begin by taking three long, slow, deep breaths. These breaths can be a way to connect with the body. And maybe with the exhale, there's a little bit of relaxation. Then allowing the breath to return to normal, trusting that the body knows how to breathe. We don't have to do anything special or in particular. We'll begin with a little bit of relaxation. Sometimes just bringing our awareness to different parts of the body can help some relaxation, some softening, some letting go. It really defeats the purpose if you turn relaxing into a project. Instead, have a sense of curiosity. What happens when you bring your awareness to the sensations in the face, the eyes, the jaw? Nothing in particular needs to happen. The neck. The shoulders. So often we bring our shoulders up. Can we slide the shoulder blades down the back? Check in with the arms, the hands. Maybe we'll pause here for a moment. Sometimes, with the hands, there can be a pleasant feeling of the hands, one touching the other. Maybe there's some warmth or some tingling. Or whatever the hands are touching, maybe the legs, the knees. Just recognize that. Allow yourself to feel the... maybe there's some ease there. Maybe not. With the back, the chest, and the belly. We can allow them to open and relax. Feel the pressure of the chair, the cushion, the ground against your body, your hips, your seat. Feel supported. Bring your attention to your legs. Sometimes we have a tightness at the muscles of the quadriceps, the tops of our legs. Maybe there can be just a little softening. Our feet can trust that the ground is here. And then to do some mindfulness practice, bring your attention to the sensations of breathing, the movement of the abdomen, the movement of the chest, or the feeling of the air going in and out of the nose. And choose whichever one is the easiest or feels the most supportive. It's not unusual for us to slip off our object, in this case the breath. If you find yourself lost in thought, can you be willing to let go of the thought? Can you be willing to begin again with kindness towards yourself? Again, if your attention is not on the breath, just very simply, gently, with kindness, and bring the awareness, the attention back. And then to begin loving kindness meditation, can bring to mind the benefactor or the lovable being. Perhaps you visualize this being. Perhaps it's more of a felt sense, in whatever way that makes sense to you. You might notice, you might check in. Is there thing that happens? Is there a little like a delight or brightness or opening, softness when you bring this being to mind? Is there a sensation in the body? It may be really subtle. It may not be your dominant experience. It may not be so clear. And it may not even be there. That's perfectly fine. That's perfectly fine. And then to support our intention of cultivating loving kindness, you can repeat the phrases silently after me while keeping the benefactor or lovable being in mind. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. You can check in with the body. And if there is a sense of warmth, softness, care. See if you can just allow it to be there without it having to be bigger or smaller or more clear. Just recognize and allow. Of course, just because are doing these practices doesn't mean that loving kindness is going to arise. We're just creating the conditions. It's possible other feelings, other types of thoughts may arise. If you find that happening and it feels a little overwhelming, you can do one of two things, or both things. One is just bring your awareness to what those feelings, thoughts are. So do mindfulness of those emotions. Or just make your awareness really big. Like maybe in the same way that sometimes we do if we were going to be aware of sounds. Just make it really big. And just allow the difficulty to be there as a part of the awareness. Otherwise, we can just allow this feeling of well-being, care, love, respect, warmth, tenderness, softness. Feel into it. We're allowed to feel these feelings. We're allowed to soak them up. And then to begin again, the benefactor, a lovable being, you can bring them to mind. again with the phrases, may you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Now I'll be silent for a little bit. You can use your own phrases. Go at your own pace. Now we can build on this foundation of the loving kindness, care, warmth, softness, tenderness, respect that we've started to cultivate for the benefactor, a lovable being. We we expand it to include ourselves. Sometimes we forget to do loving kindness for ourselves. So we can bring a sense of ourself to mind. Again, that can either be by visualizing, or maybe it's just a sense of what is it like to sit here right now. You can explore this, you can be creative, whatever feels supportive and helpful. Again, it might be helpful to check in with the heart center or the belly or the face and see if there is some warmth or softness. It's perfectly fine, perfectly fine. If it's not there, it might be there. Now we'll say the phrases for ourselves. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Now let's expand our loving kindness one more time to include a neutral person, somebody with whom you don't have a relationship. You may recognize this person. You may not know their names. Maybe you do. Can this person, can we cultivate loving kindness? Can we wish, can we send well wishing towards them? A very simple, kind-hearted way. It doesn't have to be complicated. Again, bring in the person to mind. You might find that sometimes, like, touching into like the sensations in the body can help support these feelings of loving kindness. That may or may not support it. You can explore, experiment. And this time, having the neutral person in mind, may you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. In these last few moments of this practice, You can feel free to explore, experiment different beings, benefactor, self, neutral person, emphasizing the visual, emphasizing the feeling in the body, emphasizing the phrases. You can make this practice your own. And then when you're ready, feel your seat. You can feel the pressure of the chair or the floor, the cushion against your body. Feel your feet on the ground. And you can gently open your eyes. So at the beginning, before we did the guided meditation, I talked about how both mindfulness practice and loving kindness practice can cultivate a sense of resilience, a sense of having some resource, being nourished, being supported. And these can support us in our lives. So even if at this moment, while we're doing meditation practice, you find that you weren't actually as mindful always on the object, or maybe with mindfulness you didn't feel anything in particular, it's okay. It's perfectly fine. So it turns out this is like a cultivation of the mind states, mental states, the sense of repeatedly setting the intention, repeatedly beginning again, or this willingness to let go of whatever is not what our intention is, can really support us in so many areas of our lives. And I also want to acknowledge that I kind of was inspired to kind of like pull these elements together for today's teaching by Sharon Salzberg, who's one of the people who kind of pioneered loving kindness practice in the West. She brought it from her teachers in the East, in Asia. And right now there's an online course that is being offered by Tricycle Magazine. So I just feel like I borrowed a lot of these ideas. So if you're taking that course, you will notice that some of the things I'm talking about, she was talking about too. So are there any questions or comments? Would anybody like to share how that was? To include the neutral person, was that person just as easy or as difficult as the benefactor or the self? Did you find that visualizing is easier, or maybe having a felt sense in the body is a little more accessible? Or maybe you found some phrases that you like better than the ones that I'm offering up here. Or maybe you have a question about the relationship between mindfulness and loving kindness. All of these are game. Great. Can we send the microphone back to Kumi? I think you'll probably have to turn it on.
So I'm working on feeling more practice. And so I think this would be a wonderful segue.
thank you. I think that's fantastic, right? I mean, kind of sometimes we're disconnected from our feelings. Maybe we've spent a lifetime kind of disconnected from our feelings. It can be that it's kind of some effort, a little bit of work to really, like, what is going on? So not only, I think it can help in a number of ways. One is, as I kind of talked about, kind of build up a sense of resource or a reservoir of some goodness, I'll just use that word, that can kind of help us, because sometimes, right, not all feelings are pleasant and not all feelings are welcome. So if we kind of have that sense of reservoir, as well as it can help us learn how to soften our hearts a little bit, so then the feelings maybe become more evident, a little bit more clear to us. You're welcome, Kumi. Does anybody else have something they'd like to say or comment on? Yep, we can send the microphone over there. I'm not sure.
No, it's on. I haven't been here in a very long time. I was away for a while, and then I've had things going on. And I just made sure I was here today because I've been feeling a lot of anxiety in my body. And I know how upset I am. This political situation, what's going on now, has just affected me so deeply that, I came here to get calm, and I really feel that.
Nice.
And I don't. When I go out again to get it back, do you suggest sitting down and stopping, or yeah?
Yeah, of course, right? We say sit out and stop, but often that's just not possible. So a few things I can offer is that I'm a little bit fascinated by how so often, I can speak for myself, I used to really have this feeling like no pain, no gain. Like I had to kind of be with what's difficult or the problem or something like this. And I was dismissive of things that were supportive. Often things that are supportive tend not to be as loud, quote unquote. They tend to not be as clear, or they're not as evident, and they're easier to ignore. So just to like set the intention, these subtle feelings of some little bit of contentment, this little bit of well-being, and again, this may not be our dominant experience, and it may just be little flashes, but just to like kind of honor and respect and care for those feelings, and then we'll just, the more we pay attention to them, the easier it's to notice them, and then we'll notice that there are flashes, flickers of these throughout our day. At least I hope for all of us that we do have these flickers of well-being. They may only be little flickers, they may not be, you know, our dominant experience. So that's one, is to just set that intention, and you'll forget the first 500 million times, right? But then, you know, but can you be kind with yourself and realize, oh yeah, I didn't notice anything today, and then the next day maybe you'll notice once or twice, and then maybe the next day you'll notice once or twice, and then maybe the next day you'll notice once or twice, and then the fourth, fifth, sixth day you'll start to see more. That's kind of how it is, right? It's a slow process. And then I say this for almost everything because I think it's applicable. It's amazing how powerful just feeling our feet on the ground. Somehow can help the kind of calm down the story making and the kind of the energy, that buzziness that often can arrive. Just feeling our feet on the ground. We can do that while we're talking. We can do it while we're doing anything. Our feet are usually on the ground, or they're touching something usually, right? And that can be helpful.
This has been new for me. I have been really calm. I've been traveling, and I've had some challenging moments. But this has just come up in the last few days. And I feel the calmness again in this moment. But, yeah, I'll do what you said. I will really try to integrate that.
Yeah, and then, you know, all of us, we have to exercise wisdom for ourselves, like how much we get exposed to things that agitate us. And just for each of us gets to make our own decision, like how much to really...
Right. The other thing is I've had some health problems. I woke up 2 weeks ago with numbness in my face. I had to go get a CAT scan, the whole works, and just I know I'm anxious about some of what's going on in my body. So, but thank you so much. I will try and do that. I mean, I will do it.
I have a question. So typically when I sit down for my mindfulness meditation, I approach it where, well, let's see just how this sitting goes. I don't try and think about anything, but just see what happens. But would it be better for me to have an intention when I'm sitting down for mindfulness versus metta?
Can you tell me a little bit more about your mindfulness practice? What happens in your mindfulness practice?
Oh, whatever comes up. I just let it happen. And
so things arise in your mind and you're aware of them.
Yeah,
and then they pass away and something else arises and you're aware of that.
And unless it really affects me in my body, then I'll start investigating and do the RAIN kind of acronym. But if not, I'll let it go and try and get back. But I don't know. Should I have some intention?
Yeah. You know, I think what you're describing is beautiful. It's really great. So there's different schools, and I guess I'll use that word, schools of kind of like mindfulness meditation. And some teachers will emphasize choosing an object and intention and have it there. Like when I'm starting here, I'm saying choose the breath, and they go here. But that's just because we only have a few minutes. I'm only spending a few minutes with that. If I were just to do mindfulness, I would then open it up to like whatever is compelling. A little bit more what you're describing. So, but some teachers will say start with something and then open it up. And some teachers are, no, just start here with whatever happens.
I do start with the breath. I do anchor myself with the breath. But I didn't know if that was enough or do I have to have some other kind of or is that considered an intention?
Yeah, I think the way that you described it sounds great. It sounds great.
What is RAIN?
You mean like the wet stuff that falls from the clouds? I'm guessing you know what that is. recognize, allow, investigate, and not self. Is that what you're, RAIN? Recognize, allow, investigate, and not self is often the N, and that's what people get a little bit confused about that. And there's lots of teachings about this. But it's one way to be with what's happening, especially if it's a little bit, if it's compelling or uncomfortable. And I started this a little bit on with you guys. Just recognize, oh, this is what's happening. I have this pain in my knee. But can you allow it instead of trying to like, go away, I hate you, please go away, this feeling, can we allow it somehow? Can you investigate? There's some ways to investigate is not psychotherapy. Investigate is, how does it feel? Is it a throbbing or is it a like a needle poking me or is it hot or is it cold or is it something like this? And then not self, the N is to not be identified with it. This is what's happening, but it's not the entirety of your experience, and it's not who you are as a person, and we could go on about that. So RAIN. It's a tool to help when you're doing mindfulness practice, especially with things that are a little bit uncomfortable. I have given whole Dharma talks on this type of thing. It's 7:01. I want to respect your time. If anybody wants to talk to me afterwards, you're welcome to do so. Otherwise, I hope that all of you find moments of some ways that you can have some well-being or contentment and that you allow yourself to be nourished and supported by those. Thank you.